welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I thank you for listening to me on this ninth day of June 2019. We're going to be looking at karma. What does karma mean? Do you believe in karma? Do you not believe in it? What's going on? I have three lovely, lovely questions on the subject of karma, and I think you'll find them, at least I hope you do, very interesting. I always find it interesting to hear what people have to say about spiritual stuff. That's what they call it, spiritual stuff. So we'll take a look at karma. I want to remind you that radio program is... All of the things that I offer on Aspire are here only because of the grace of your loving consciousness and your kindness to donate. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that Aspire is allowed to be on the air and serving as many people as it does. And it's a nice thing to hear from you. I enjoy your letters, your emails. It's very lovely to hear this. I forget, and due to old age here, but I forget that you're listening and really enjoying and finding help in the program. So I want to thank those of you who take the time to write and to do your thing. I really appreciate it. And I hope that those of you listening who get something out of this radio program or TV programs will become a sponsor. It is, again, only through your sponsorship that we are allowed to continue, and I hope that you will help us sustain our program by becoming a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, down at the bottom of the page, you will see why support Aspire and all of the questions regarding where your donations go, how important they are, what you will receive for becoming a sponsor will be there, and the message of the month, access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries, all of them. Also, you will have access to all of my discourses that I gave over the years, almost 30 years of broadcasting on TV. They're on various subjects. The Eightfold Path of Buddha would be one of them. From the Heart of the Tao, I did lots of them. The Sound of One Hand Clapping, Nobody Likes You Anyway, one of the more popular ones. Lighten Up is another one. There are so many. Go take a look and become a sponsor. The benefits of this in you are immense, and sometimes people do not understand how important it is to awaken spiritually. They really don't get it, most people, 99% of the population, which is why the world is the way the world is, and blah, blah, blah. Let's look at karma. What is karma? According to the dictionary, in Hindu and Buddhism, the sum of a person's actions in this and previous states of existence viewed as deciding their fate in future experiences. And existences, and all that other good stuff. Karma is simply our life. And most of us just don't want to even think of that or think that there is anything in our karma that would be what, quote, unquote, bad. Let's take a look. First question comes from Aaron. Aaron does not tell me where he lives or she lives. How does karma affect me? Nothing I do ever changes in my life. I don't see how karma's even there, Aaron. Aaron, my dearest darling, you are writing out of karma to me. I am talking back to you in words that only your mind can understand, and that is due to your evidently skepticism about karma, and that is your karma as well. So you're writing out of karma, you're listening out of karma, and I understand you think your life has not been changed by karma. Let me tell you, your life is derived out of karma until you awaken. So here's how it works. this skepticism or suspicion or doubt that you have about karma is your karma. It is it. So because you don't recognize karma, what is going on within you, how this going on within you affects you, you are living your life out of the state of a karma that doesn't allow you to understand words such as the ones I'm giving you now that might point the finger at, oh, I am living in karma. I don't really have a life. I don't have a life. You don't have a life. We only have our karma in this world. Our body belongs to that karma. Our body is a result of that karma. Buddha, Jesus, even Lao Tzu talked about karma and talked about the idea that when you come into this world, you have to pick up a body. It's just the rules of the game here. And every body has some karma within them. This karma determines and sustains our entire life. So the non-change that you see in your life, the things that are not happening in your life that you think are not happening and even are happening, are a result of your karma. That is your karma. So the way I look at it is this. If I only know dirty water and I only swim and drink in it, and I learn to make that my home, which most people do, then that is all I know of water. But the moment I step out of the water and I realize, A, it's dirty, and B, I've been swimming in it, and C, that it is not drinkable or not healthy to drink, that is the moment I awaken to my karma, and I no longer am in that karma. I'm no longer in that cesspool of my own doing. The definition is true that our karma comes from previous states of existence. We swim in karma because everything we do makes for our karma. Now, what are we going to do with the making of our karma? What are we going to do with that? We make that a real issue. We, through our indifference and just saying, well, I don't believe in it. This is what I hear. I'm not saying you're saying that, Aaron, but maybe you are. I don't believe in it doesn't make it not true. It's, you know, you're either wet or you think you're not wet, but we're wet. Here's the sad part. We never get a chance to truly awaken to the beautiful life that lives within us because we are so busy living in the muck and the mire of our karma, swimming in it and saying to ourselves, well, isn't this a wonderful thing? Look what we get to do. We just don't do that. We just don't get that. We don't understand the nature of karma and we don't understand the nature of life because we don't meditate. When a person gets into meditation, they realize that life is a form of tone and light, tone and light. It has nothing to do with thought. And the more I think I know, the more I think about karma, the more I think about my life, how I want it to be, and what I have to do to make that happen, the more difficult it becomes in my life to awaken spiritually. Because I'm so ensconced in my worldly life, I miss my spiritual life altogether. And everything, my dear Aaron, is spiritual. And I mean everything. No matter what you may think, say, or do, it is all very spiritual. Now, what does that mean, spiritual? That is just an annoying word to me. I don't have any other word other than maybe existential. That's not even a good word. There isn't a great word for it. It is effervescent. It is allowing. It is beautiful. It can be realized through compassion and love. It can be realized only through the silence that lives within us, engaging in vibration. Like I say, I give meditations that are Tummo-oriented as well as Tibetan pulsing-oriented, and they go deep, deep, deep into a person, and they start moving, resonating to the tone of life that is love. It is all about this thing called love. Gregory as a man, Aaron as a person, male or female, I'm just going to assume you're male. Aaron as a man, Gregory as a man can't get this. We can't do this in our body. But we can do it in consciousness. And when you relax and you move deep, deep, deep inside you, beyond the confines of the mental and emotional person that we have become, we start to realize that there is a life that is predicated on love and the vibration of love, and not so much the body and its lower vibration, which is about staying alive and living out of our genetic heritage, which is what most of us do. Well, there you are, Aaron. I hope it helps you. It's affecting you. It is. You wrote me out of your karma. You're listening to me out of your karma. You're living out of your karma. Life has not yet occurred. Trust me, you probably don't, but trust me, it hasn't occurred yet. And that's what you must seek, is life. This isn't philosophy we are teaching here, although to the ears of a person who lives in karma, it all sounds like blah, blah, blah. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's hard to listen when a person just doesn't get it. And the reason they don't get it is they have immersed themselves in karma and the literal world. That's my karma. The literalness of my Gregory mind, my pedestrian mentality as he is, and I don't come out of that coma ever. And that's the problem with people. They don't think they have to come out of that coma. Next question, Kathy from Los Angeles. What is karma? Can I know it, Kathy? I think you're trying to say is, what is your karma and can you know it? Yeah, you can. You can. You can see the fate of it, the existence of it, in the repetition of your life. Let me give you an example. How do things go for you? How do things happen for you? Is there a repetition, a pattern? Now, you may say, well, things go for me really well. I'm a very fortunate person. Okay, so that's the way you think of it. But sometimes I have found, many times, that a person who thinks they're fortunate is rather unfortunate, because they get everything they want that's in and of this world, but they never, ever get it. They just don't get it. You understand what I mean? They don't get it. It is karma. It is life. It is love. They just don't get it. They may find that they have access to fame and fortune and people, but that doesn't mean you've lived a good life. That doesn't mean that you've lived a gratuitous maybe life, but were you able to go beyond your karma and live beyond the confines of your own doing? Can you live in a let go that allows the heart, the authentic heart, to guide you and direct you? So you ask me, what is my karma? I don't know what your karma is, but you're here on this earth. This is a violent and silly place to be. There are lots of people with enormous opinions who wield a great deal of personal power. They have a lot of hate and vengeance and pride in them. You live in a very difficult world. I live in a very difficult world. We all live in this world together, and it is a difficult place because we make it a difficult place. Now, because of all of that, that tells me something about the state of my karma and what I am doing with my life, and then what I'm here for, to transcend this karma, not to become a part of it, not to be engulfed in it, but to transcend it, to move beyond it, not to allow it to define my life. How do I do that? Deliberate acts of consciousness, of being aware and conscious of everything I'm doing, and that it sends a ripple effect into my worldly life. It comes back to me. This ebb, this flow of me rippling in the water and it coming back and going back and forth and back and forth. Once you begin to truly understand that and you accept it for what it is, that is when you will start to want to free yourself. And that will happen through meditation. It is only through meditation that that can happen. So you have to ask yourself, what is it that I am doing in my life that would make love possible? You have to keep asking yourself that. What could I do to make love possible? What could I do to make love possible? Start there. Then, as you go a little further and a little deeper, keep asking yourself, is all of this the way I think it is? Is all of this, your life, the way you think it is? Now, if you say yes, then you're entrenched and nothing is going to change. If you say no, then you bring suspicion to the whole situation. And that's kind of a good thing, because then you might be willing to see the bigger picture. Most people do not have much of a perspective about their life. We just don't have it. For them, life has no perspective at all. It just simply is the way it simply is, the way it simply is. You think your life is this, this, and this. Another person may look at their life and say, no, for me it is this way, that way, and over here. Neither one of you would be wrong, because that's the way you experience it. But those wouldn't be ultimate truths. And they would also be something that sustained exactly how we are, the way we are, the who of who we are. And that is my karma. That becomes my fate, my destiny. The way I live my life becomes my fate and destiny. So you ask, can you know your karma? Yes. Can you know what it's all about? Yeah, you can. Some people can even go deep into their past lives. I have, and it's an interesting experience, but I'm telling you, it exists within you, and understanding kind of the intricacies of it helps you not take things too seriously here on Earth like you might have before. And that's the value of it. You start looking at things from a different perspective. You start realizing, oh, I'm repeating patterns I've lived thousands of times in many different ways, and I don't have to do that. And you don't have to do that. So you let love live you. You give, you forgive. You do everything you can to make love possible in your life. You do not fight love. You do not resent it. You would be willing to put your pride up for stake and give it up, even die away from it, as it were, metaphorically speaking, for the sake of love. How much and how far would you go to love, to allow love to have its way with you? Its way, not my way, but its way. That's the question. And if you do that, if you are willing of that, everything takes care of itself. And you will realize, oh my, this really is, and this is what happened for me, this is really what life is all about. It isn't about sustaining my karma. It is about transcending my karma. And that's the truth of it all, to transcend. I probably lost you there, didn't I, Kathy? Anyway, I hope it helped. Listen to this a few times. Maybe it will hit. And I have written a great deal about karma in my commentary. So if you get access to those, you'll read more. And if you're really interested, you can go more deeply into it from there. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question is from Don. He does not tell me where he lives. To know karma is like knowing the devil, right, Don? I saved yours for last because it amused me the most. Karma's not the devil. There is no devil, but I know what you mean metaphorically. You don't. I hope you don't mean it literally, but I do. Yeah, it's kind of like knowing the devil in your life. You work real hard. You do really kind things. You set a course, let's say, for living, and it all turns out totally different than ever you thought it would, and it becomes frustrating and blah, blah, blah. Yes, all of that is probably true. And it seems like the devil did it, but it's not a devil, but yet it is, metaphorically. You can do all the things you want. I know, guys, so many examples are coming to me. I know this person who worked really hard, and he's an arrogant fool, and he really is. He doesn't change. He never changes. He's old. He thinks he's pretty smart, but he isn't. And he made a ton of money and thought he would just run away from his problems. And he did. He ran away for a while, and he lost it all. Every penny of what he worked for. And this has been a recurring pattern in his life. And did he learn from it? No. How does he look at it? Bad luck, you know, things like that. He never learns. Now, if you're like this guy who never learns, humankind rarely learns, spiritually speaking, then you understand that this is going to be a reoccurring theme. And he'll say the devil did it, metaphorically. He didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't have anything to do with losing the money, la, la, la. It was just bad timing. He did it in the stock market in 08 when everything kind of went to poop. So there you are. He really does think, well, you know, it was just the time, and I, you know, got caught up, and he can't see the truth, and he won't see it because he's never to blame for the problems of his own life and the choices he's made. And that's the way people think. It's not my fault. Well, I had a student, Bodhi, who used to, you've seen him on TV, he used to do a lot of music for me. He passed on, sad to say. But he used to, his constant alibi for kind of screwing up in his practice was, it isn't my fault. It isn't my fault. And it was tongue-in-cheek. It was a joke. He knew he had his karma. He knew what it was all about. But in the end, it's not his fault. And what I find with people is, oh, well, it's not my fault this happened or this happened or that happened, but it isn't a matter of fault. It's a matter of how I aligned myself in my karma. It's how I lived in my karma. It's how I tried to ignore my karma. It is how I tried to not understand what it is to love and awaken beyond my karma. That's really what it's about. It isn't that you did anything wrong. It's just the way you did anything is how it all worked out. And that's where the problem is. I got to go. Oh, I could go on and on with this one with you. But thank you for your sweet question. Thank you all for your sweet questions. I deeply appreciate your attentions. Have a beautiful day. Be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.